Welcome, everybody, to Inspiration in 10, where we share inspirational stories, articles, and Torah thoughts in memory of and le'ili nishmat, my father, Rav Gershom ben Harav ben Sion. Tonight's class is also in memory of Gidon ben Gershon, our friend Fred Karsh, who passed away yesterday. A story is told about a poor man who lived a simple life near the beach. We'll call him Getzel. One day, as he was out on the shore, he heard the desperate screams of what sounded like a drowning man. He scanned the water, and indeed, he located someone struggling. Without hesitation, Getzel jumped into the water, swam out to the struggling human being who was about to drown, hooked his arm around him, and swam him to shore, with him to shore. Getzel saw that the young man was barely breathing. He performed CPR and heroically brought the man back to life. When the young man finally came to, he thanked Getzel and he asked him if he knew who it was that he had saved. "No, I saved you because you were drowning, not because I know you." "Well," said the young man, "I am the prince. I want you to come to the palace tomorrow and you will be handsomely rewarded." Although Getzel had performed the life-saving act altruistically, he looked forward to meeting the king and to enjoying the benefits of his actions. The king was overflowing with gratitude to Getzel, and he invited him to come in the following morning when the treasury would be open and he would have a full day to fill his sacks with diamonds, with golds, rubies, and with other treasures. No second invite was needed, and Getzel arrived early and energetic for his reward day in the king's treasury. He was given a shovel and sacks, and he began to fill them. He worked feverishly, ignoring the aromas of the delicious open buffet that was there. Surely he grabbed a few bites, but he tried not to be distracted. And after a number of hours of filling sacks, he was tired. He sat down to rest, but he urged himself to get back up, keep working, and packing those treasures. He was sweating, tired, hungry, but he kept working to pack up as many treasures as possible until the sun went down and the gates of the treasury were locked. Once his treasures were secure, Getzel collapsed from overexertion and lack of sleep. Naturally, Getzel became one of the wealthiest men in the kingdom and was a treasured nobleman of the king. He used his money wisely. He built himself a palace. He invested in many properties and businesses. He had a large family, and they lived a very pleasant and pampered life with all the comforts that were available and with many wonderful vacations. His children's weddings were each the wedding of the century, in their own right, where guests were treated to the finest delights and left with gifts. The food, the music, the decor, it was all fit for a king. When Getzel's 10th and youngest child got married, the phrase, "truly over the top," was coined. Golden chariots with white horses carried the guests from the chuppah to the reception. Full 24-ounce Delmonico steak and sous vide duck were only two of the many entrees that were served. The dancing and the champagne went on all night. At the end of the wedding, when one of Getzel's friends, another nobleman, wished him a l'chaim, saying, "I wish you many days where you're just as happy as today, the happiest day of your life," all raised their glasses and drank l'chaim. But those near to the hosts, especially his children, noticed that Getzel winced and he made a face, and perhaps he even muttered something under his breath when his friend had assumed that this was the happiest day of his life. What was it? What was he saying? The children started discussing amongst themselves what may have been their father's happiest day in their life. "Ah, it was my wedding," said one. "Remember how grand it was? It was even grander than this one." "Oh, no, 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 it must have been mine," said the oldest. "His first wedding with such joy and honor from all his friends." "Nah," said another one. Maybe it wasn't one of our weddings at all. Maybe it was that 60-day trip that he and mother took to a beautiful foreign land. Each child tried to imagine what was the honorable father's favorite day. Finally, Getzel, who had been sitting in his own corner but had heard the conversation, turned to his children and said, "You think those were my favorite days? They were wonderful, but they weren't my favorite. My favorite day was not spent with great family and great fun. It wasn't a day when I ate good food or wore nice clothing. It was certainly not a comfortable day. It was a day when I started off with only the one shirt on my back and the worn trousers to match. It was a day when I neither ate nor slept. It was a day when I worked so hard that every muscle ached for weeks afterward. My shirt was soaking when the day was done. It was a day of hard labor, but it is a day that I would do over and over if I could. It was the day that the king opened his treasury to me. It was a day when I didn't want to waste a moment to eat, drink, sleep, or rest, because that was the day that I spent gathering diamonds and treasures and changing my status from a pauper to a rich man. And the hard work gave all of us the comfortable life that we have come to know." The above story that I just mentioned, it's based on a parable of the Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, and it's fleshed out a bit by Rabbi Avram Malach, and then, of course, my own little embellishments. The lesson is deep. This week in the portion of Bo, we read about the last three plagues visited upon the Egyptians, finally ending with Paro commanding Moses to get the Jews out of Egypt. Our ancestors received the mitzvot of the Pesach lamb, of putting the blood on the mezuzot, on the lintels of the door, also the mitzvah of matzah and maror. They also had to prepare for the Exodus and actually depart Egypt. Imagine all those people preparing, getting their families ready to leave Egypt after so many years. In the midst of what must have been the most hectic time for the Jewish people, Moses received the commandment, Rosh Chodesh, the new month. Basically, when you boil down the whole story that we read in this parsha, God commands us to fix a Jewish calendar, a lunar calendar, which still meshes with the solar year, so that Passover always comes out in the spring, hence the Jewish leap year that we celebrate this year. The Hebrew word for Egypt is Mitzrayim, from the word Mitzar, which means narrow or constricted. In leaving Egypt, the Jewish people were going from narrowness to expansion, from a bounded country to a limitless open desert, from slavery to freedom. One of the hallmarks of being a slave is the inability to control anything, specifically time. When God commanded us to be in charge of publicly announcing the new moon, Rosh Chodesh, the new month, we're given the gift of being able to declare and sanctify time. And as the Jewish people were coming into their newly liberated status, it was important that they understood that freedom is not a free-for-all, and that expansion of freedom requires a balanced approach. There are many lessons to Rosh Chodesh that are beyond the scope of today's class. But as our nation was emancipated, they are being given the gift of time, as we are every morning when we wake up. My hope for myself is that I can learn from Getzel in the above story that the world we live in and the day that we are given is one with the opportunity to amass treasures with eternal buying power. As Getzel taught his family, his favorite day was spent in hard work, but his work had life-lasting effects. Each of the mitzvah opportunities that God places in our life, and even the mountains of challenges that he arranges for us to climb, are opportunities to amass treasures of connection to God with lifelong and eternal benefits. Thank you, everyone, for joining me in elevating the airwaves. Le'iloi Nishmat, my father, Rav Gershom, and Rav Ben-Zion. Please remember, a little light dispels a lot of darkness. Shabbat in South Surrey begins at 4:18.